You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on, let me change some words here. All right, ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held. Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen a lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Welcome to Sarah Talk. I don't know what episode number this is. I'm completely lost track now. Oh, I'm sorry. I turned you back on.
Listen.
I didn't introduce you in the studio with me today.
Drum roll.
You can always cut.
My wife, Becca.
Oh, my God. Hi, everybody.
We're going to do something a little different today, too, I think. Heather Boyd is in the studio with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
So awesome to finally, we've been trying to do this for such a long time.
And it's amazing how many people we know in common
and
haven't run into each other, either in our prior lives or even in this one.
Yeah.
Well, and we don't name names a lot on the show, but Disney is very much a 6 degrees of separation kind of place.
Like six? I was thinking two.
It's very true.
Katie, right?
Exactly.
You to Katie to me. That was easy.
Yeah.
And Clint.
Yeah.
And, anyway.
And a new manager I'm working with, too.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, what I thought we'd do today is we'll just kind of have you tell your story and we'll kind of talk through that. And then, time permitting, we'll take a look and see where we are. Then we may, if you're willing, we'll dive into some news articles like we do normally every week and talk about some garbage that's happening in the news. Some good.
Oh, really?
I was going to say, is there actually news anymore?
No, there's alternative.
I'm sorry. I'm an NPR junkie.
I love NPR.
And it's very hard for me to deal with what's going on in the mainstream media right now. And it's not just the Foxes. And I'm actually that one person who stands out and says, there are some things Fox does very well, because I have always argued, they always use the fair and balanced tagline, but they're not always that bad, because I used to love to listen to Brett Hume's show because you had Moore Eliason and Juan Williams. You had people on the left on there, but that was one of the few shows that I could get that with, and the rest of them were just.
So where do you lean politically then?
Well, I'm a fiscal conservative and a social liberal.
Yep.
And in my prior life, I actually tried to hide social liberalism. You know, I would be very... and I was very sort of, I tried to present a scholarly type persona anyway. So I tried to be very calm and moderate and be a, sort of a devil's advocate, type person. And I still sort of keep that, but I can no longer, this has just gotten so vitriolic that I can't sit back and not say something anymore.
Yeah,
you know, and definitely. It's like, so, and also I was petrified that if I came out for GLBT rights or anything like that, I was going to be found out because I hid this for 40 years.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So let's start then into your story. Take us back.
Sure.
What age did you start to feel like something wasn't lining up? Did you always associate?
I was like in my early teens, and I just knew that I had a stronger affinity for all things female than I should have. And for a teenage boy. I was fascinated with my mother's clothes and everything else when I was an early teen.
Yeah.
I would go steal a pair of her pantyhose.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing that most people would do when they're experimenting and trying to figure it out. But back in the 1970s, there wasn't any information.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no internet. Yeah. No. Yeah. And so you had to find information where you could. If you were lucky and you went to a library, you might have heard about Christine Jorgensen or something like that. You never heard about the Danish girl.
Mm.
You know, yeah. You didn't know what was going on in Sweden or Denmark or anything like that. That was something that was, and particularly since I grew up in rural Virginia as an early teen and then moved to Orlando when I was 13, you didn't get the information. Yeah. And I grew up in a solidly middle class, dad was retired military family. And so it was a bit different. But in my late teens, when I was in high school, Renee Richards decided to play tennis at the US Open.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that and I go, oh my gosh, that's me. And then I saw the media circus around that and I go, I can never tell a soul as long as I live.
Yeah.
So I hit it as much as I could. Did the typical, you know, buy a wardrobe, trash it.
Yes. Oh my God, the cycle.
Yeah. Hid it from all my girlfriends.
Yep.
Got busted once. Mom busted me once with a whole bag of shoes. I lied and said they belonged to one of my girlfriends. And I was just holding them because she was moving.
Uh-huh.
I can't believe she never figured that out. But anyway, from there, you know, I went along and then in the late 80s, early 90s, this started to peak out again, and I just started to try and find people because now the internet's popping up very slow, 14.4 baud modem.
Dial-up connection.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
AOL, large bills. Mm.
We had to call a long-distance number from our podunk shithole town.
Yeah.
Just to get on. We had Prodigy. We didn't even have AOL.
Yeah, I remember.
We had Prodigy, and my mother would set an egg timer. She would set an egg timer and put it up on top of the desk where the computer was, and it would tick, 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 while I was on there. Yeah. Oh my God. When it went off, I had to disconnect.
So when I started finding that, I started seeing that there were other people similar to me, but you know how what a dangerous place the internet can be about getting accurate information. You have to know exactly where to look. And I never could find anybody that was just like me. There was some soft porn, or you could get to hard.
Well, and back then the internet wasn't exactly well organized.
No, it was not. So you're all over the place. And then I had friends who were sitting there hacking into universities in Russia.
Jesus. Everybody was on an Angel Fire website. Yeah,
so. GeoCities,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was like really pretty bizarre to see all of that.
Yeah.
So I gave up then in the early 90s. I had a couple of long-term relationships in that time period. And if I say something that's TMI.
No.
Yeah, let me know.
Because there's no TMI on this show.
Because I'm completely open about this, and I think that I'm very honest about it, and I think that a lot of my friends are stunned. They're going white. And I said, look, this is me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'm not making excuses.
Yes.
I'm gonna let you know where I came from and what I am. To me it's important that I make sure that you have an understanding if you want that understanding. I'm not going to force it on anybody, but if you ask, I'm going to say, how much do you want to know?
Yeah.
Because I like to talk to, you know, one of my male friends told me, he said, I always knew you were a girl. You talk too much. Yeah, that was good. He's brilliant too. So in the early 2000s, I was involved in a relationship that had been going on for almost 7 years, and when we broke up, I bought my own place, and I was a little more freedom, so I bought my third wardrobe.
Mm. Yes.
And I was trying to go out once in a blue moon. But then in 2006, my father passed, and that was sort of an epiphany. I tried to, I had always loved college life. I was like a perennial student. I was working on my master's. I had done my coursework twice. I even did my boards once. I was ABT, all but a thesis.
Yeah.
And I just never did get it finished. And then when Dad died, I had like one class, and I would have had to start doing my defense again and do my thesis. Mm-hmm. So never did quite do that. Tried to take a shortcut to get there. Tried to teach in Lake County Middle School. And all the time, I'm still working at the Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a manager, so I went part-time there. Not a bad thing. I know a lot of people, you know, have negative comments about our company.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, and I'm sure you've experienced the same thing, socially, we are amazing.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just amazing. So that started me on a journey of looking, trying to find other girls like me. And again, the internet being what it is, it was very hard because I didn't know what questions to ask. Had I knew what questions to ask and the correct verbiage and syntax, I might have been able to find things sooner.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along the line, around 2013, I started meeting up with some other girls that were, I say girls, but in a lot of ways, they're on the other end of our scale. They were the cross-dressers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, some actually were transgender, were afraid to say it.
Yep.
Spousal reasons, job reasons.
Yep, I identified that way for a very long time.
Yeah.
But because I didn't have the language for it.
Exactly. Same with me. I didn't know what I was.
Yeah.
I just knew that I had always wished that I had been born female.
Yep.
So I'm going like, I'll never get anywhere with this. And then things just started falling accidentally. 2014 was a funny year in a lot of ways. I had been depressed after my father had passed. I had worked third shift like you did for about 3 years where I was this was when I was part-time, but I was the relief manager on one of our third shift positions. And so I was covering the manager's days off, anytime he went on vacation and anything that needed to go on in between. And then when I wasn't, I was closing the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I don't miss those days.
6 years out of the Magic Kingdom. That's the thing about being part-time, and everybody started out. It was really weird because at one point they were having us come in at 3 a.m. and everybody shoved me into that one, which was really odd because, you know, you wake up at 1:30 a.m. and you're getting ready for work, and this incredibly silly thought creeps into your head and you go, you know, I can make last call somewhere.
Been there.
Yeah. But anyway, so 2014, I started having some health problems. And this is really bizarre because it's amazing how things tie in together. So I had gone in to get my blood work read one day, and I thought it was going to be 10 minutes in and out. And I had another one of my peers watching the area for me, and I spent 2 hours there, and the doctor read me the Riot Act. He said I was pre-diabetic and that I had blood pressure issues, and I went on a litany of medicines, like 3 blood pressure medicines, metformin, the whole 9 yards.
Wow.
So, which made me even worse. So what does any red-blooded American do the day that they're told they're pre-diabetic?
You go on a sugar binge.
Went out for a drink.
Okay.
Yeah.
That works too.
Plural. So at the time, I'm still searching for girls like me. Yeah. I had been going to places like, I guess it was our bar at the time, Revolution, and then back to Southern Nights, because eons ago it was Southern Nights. But I was going there because where do you find girls like me? Hopefully at a drag show.
Right.
Which is not the right place.
Yeah.
As we all know subsequently. But on this particular night, I was just, I was really down. And I guess I was on gin and tonic number 3. And they hadn't opened up the back room, so it was just the front bar, and it was kind of getting crowded. And in walks this short, spunky, 4'11", green, blue, orange hair, 20-something, early 20-something, little firecracker. And the only place that's left to stand by the bar is by me. Now, I'm still presenting male, and I'm half in the bag. Mm-hmm. And we just start talking. I don't know why, but I told her my whole story. And we sort of became fast friends that night. She put her phone number in my phone. I thought that was going to be the end of it. Mm-hmm. So about 5 days later, I was going back home to Virginia because my mom was having already had a valve replacement for her heart, and I was going to go spend a week up there with her. So I'm driving up on Friday morning, and I get into Jacksonville, and boom, amazingly enough, traffic stops on 95. Dead stop. So I pull out my phone, I text Christina, and lo and behold, she comes back and answers and goes, "You texted me." And I go, "You gave me your number?" And we became fast friends. So that led me to start hanging out with a group of 25-year-old lesbians for the next year. Mm. And I learned a lot. I accidentally ran into people there that were in the trans community. And I was also doing stuff on my own and running into other people. But the turning point came in November of 2014 when I went out to Valencia College for a night of transgender, a day of transgender remembrance. Mm-hmm. And although I had been out in public dress before and I'd even gone shopping like at Torrid, this day was cold, which is unusual for Florida. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was going to be down in the low 40s that night for November. That was pretty chilly. But here I was dressed in hose and heels and a nice dress, and all I had was a shawl. And so I go, well, in for a penny, in for a pound. And I walked right into Torrid and bought a nice coat. Wish I'd have bought boots. It was cold that night. But that night was amazing. Got to meet some people, hear some great speeches. But two of the things that happened that night were what really convinced me that I should do this, because the kids on the college campus were amazing. I mean, it was obvious that I wasn't passable. And I had gone in, and when I ordered my sandwich, the young guy said, "Here you go, ma'am." Was very polite. But I had to go order my coffee on the other side of this big barrier, and they had like somebody taking the orders and the barista making it up. You know, it's just a normal college shop. You know, not a Wawa, not a Barney's, right. Not a Starbucks, just the college campus, you know, coffee shop. And the girl makes my drink, and she turns around and starts to hand me my cup and just blurts out, "I love your hair."
Isn't that the best?
Oh, I was like, God, I was melting. So the speaker that night was Anne. She was one of the speakers. And that convinced me that night. I knew that I was going to transition. I was just finding my way in the community, and I had found a meetup group, mm-hmm. Back in, June. Yeah. June. I found a meetup group that was very serious minded. It wasn't, I mean, yeah, they did go out, but it wasn't, "Let's go to P House. Let's go to Southern. Yeah. Let's all get
plastered. Let's go out for dinner."
Yeah. It was out for dinner. We would have guest speakers sometimes talk about health issues, things like that. And I'm very big on trying to get new people that I meet that are trans to get involved in this, to get your therapy and to get involved in this. So you can find out, is this for you?
Yeah.
This is not for everybody. Even if you think it is, it may not be. And how far do you go?
Right.
Which we were sort of talking about before.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point I go, okay, what do I do? Let's lay out a plan. Still trying to think linearly. So because now it's right before Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. Don't want to tell anybody Thanksgiving or Christmas, first of the year. So that'll give me time to think, who do I tell? Who are my friends? What do I talk about? And I keep thinking about it. And in the meantime, things start to happen with some of my friends, and I know that I'm probably close to getting busted because I'm slipping up. I've been going out and I'm coming into work and there's residual makeup. Uh-huh. Didn't get all the nail polish off.
Yep.
Yep.
Those type of things. So I know that there's probably, if you go out enough, you know you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
Even in a city this big.
It's a small town when it's Disney folks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
definitely.
You run into people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think of who I'm going to contact. First thing I think of is old girlfriends. They liked you for some reason. You had a bond with them, and women in general tend to be more accepting of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I want to build a support group, and, everybody does this differently, and there's no right answer. And I keep telling people that it doesn't matter how you do this. There's no specific order. There's no specific structure to it, because you need to go at your own pace based on your circumstance.
Yep.
Do you have a spouse and children? Do you, you know,
yep.
How attached are you to that thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that plays a part.
Yep.
So, I start telling my friends, and first one I tell is a very long time girlfriend, off and on, love her to death still to this day. She was incredibly supportive, and so was her daughter, who's grown. I mean, I've known her for over 30 years. Oh, yeah. And gosh, I think I just told everybody how old I was. Rule number one, too, never ask a woman her age.
Right.
Getting tired of all this ID stuff, you know, when you call your insurance company, what's your date of birth?
Right.
I always tell them.
The hell with you.
Yeah, I'm going like, you know, you're not supposed to ask a woman how old she is, right? Usually it's a woman on the other end of the line and she chuckles.
Right.
But, squirrel, sorry.
I actually looked.
Oh my God.
So,
sorry.
I started telling my friends. It was easier to tell female friends. I was really struggling with male friends because I wasn't quite sure how to release the old world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I tell everybody. My goal from the get-go was never to replace my old friends and family with the transgender community.
Yep.
So I cause ripples sometimes in the transgender community. You've heard the term going stealth, right?
Yep.
I'm going to be accused of that a lot. Mm-hmm. Because my goal is to have the T removed from the front of my name. Mm-hmm. I'm not a trans woman. I'm a woman.
Right.
And I do that in the vein of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. I'm not a black man.
Yeah.
I'm a man.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with that. So it's this ethereal goal of getting to the point where, why can't we all just get along?
Yeah, right.
And quit labeling.
Yeah. But that's a crazy, I will go to my squirrel here. As a scientific people, like, we just have to fucking categorize and label.
It's annoying,
and
right?
Sort everything we see. It's,
yes.
Yeah, it's insane.
The weird thing is, okay, I'm a history major. And so I'm always doing the what ifs and looking at the social ramifications and what did this and what did that. I'm not a mathematical person. I am a scientific person. I do believe in the scientific theories and, right. and the practices of the model of how you research and what you do. I buy into all that, but you get me up into the physics stuff and stuff like that, where you need math and chemistry, and it's like, forget that, all that, you know, it's like, that's not me.
I just want people to have that basic understanding of,
right, I was more of an earth
science. Socratic method and critical thinking and that sort of thing.
Oh, I was another squirrel. I was, when I first went back to college, I had taken 8 years off. I'd gotten my AA degree right out of high school, and I was working, then I went full-time at Disney, and like, it was 8 years before I went back to school, almost nine. And then when I went back to school, I was in the School of Education for one semester. When they tried to foist the Socratic method off on a 19th century sociologist, I got mad. Because I've always been humanities history, and you don't, you know, it was a blatant ripoff.
Right.
And trust me, as a historian, I had to study all of those 19th century utopian socialists. And I don't. Now, it sounds really kind of weird, because I actually don't disagree with a lot of the things they say, but I do. It's become like idol worship.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I'm looking for my male friends, two things come into mind, okay? Or actually, a few things come into mind. Attachments. Don't want them to have too many. Mm-hmm. Preferably for the first ones I tell, since I'm looking for yeses.
Yep.
Don't want family attachments. If they're if they've got kids, that's going to be a negative thing, because then that puts them in the point of the discussion where they have to decide, do we tell our kids? Right. How old are our kids?
Yeah.
You know, this is a friend you've known for a long period of time, and now she is different.
Yeah.
And how soon can they take that? And that's not a knock on the kids. It's the stress on the parents.
Right.
You know, so how do they make that decision? Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's tough enough, as you know, trying to be a parent anyway. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we were starting to throw these complex ideas at them.
Yep.
You know, at the kids. Now, they're very malleable.
Absolutely.
And and they learn very quickly. That still doesn't change.
Our seven-year-old was, what, five?
Well, he was five.
When this all happened here.
And he was just
okay. Sure. And as long
as he's still getting your love, that's what he's looking
for. Absolutely, right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, in the beginning it was, you can call me whatever you want to call me. And if that's daddy, fine. If it's something else, whatever, that's up to you. That's more about you than it is me. And then
we just
kind of recently,
it was the pronouns.
We
were just changing he to she, and that was it.
Yep.
And it was easy enough for him.
And the name. Yeah. And but then eventually it got to the point where, okay, now we're going out to like Target and stuff and to hear, you know, we're walking through Target and daddy, I need to go to the bathroom. And there's no daddy. There's,
no.
So that just obviously drew
attention to me. It's probably on a day that the girls are very front and forward. Yep, you know, it's like.
And I've got really short hair, but I've got really big boobs, so I can't even pass as daddy. So.
Yeah. But when we sat down and talked to him about that, like.
He totally got it.
This is how that makes me feel.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh. Okay, mommy, yes, then. Like, I'll come up with something else for you. Sure, no big deal. He's the greatest kid ever.
He really is.
Aren't kids amazing?
Yeah.
The youth is, and we'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sitting there going, don't want them to have attachments. Prefer that they have a pretty high level of college education, because generally the higher the education, the more little L liberal you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps trying to find somebody in that vein who can empathize with you, even if they don't understand, they're gonna take the effort.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a quick break now. We'll be right back with more personal transition story with our special guest Heather Boyd after this. You're listening to Sarah Talk. Sarah Talk is made possible by our patrons. We love our patrons. If you're not a Sarah Talk patron, you're missing out.
We should do a parody show for bathroom bills at the dog park. Like dogs fighting over which dog gets to pee where.
Or the owners.
Yeah. I feel uncomfortable that my dog has to shit on the transgendered lawn. Fuck that.
Our Patreon fans get access to special patrons-only content, like this nearly two-hour-long bonus episode where we break down Texas Senate Bill 6, the bathroom bill, with our special guest, Jake Vahaba.
My dog hunches over and takes a big runny shit. It's going to do it with other straight shit dogs.
Which is the argument I hear.
Yes,
so.
Yes, exactly what I envisioned.
My dog knows what it is. And it may fuck other men dogs sometimes. And pillows and shit, my kid. But I'm not having my dog shit next to other transgendered hump dogs.
Not only do our patrons get access to all previous patron-only specials for less than the price of a tall whatever Starbucks tries to pass off as a coffee, you'll get an ad-free version of the show, which often includes outtakes and extended segments. And of course, we'll give you a special shout-out on the show. Become a patron now for as little as $1 per episode. Go to patreon.com/saratalk today. That's patreon.com/saratalk. Welcome back to Sarah Talk. We are in studio with our special guest, Heather Boyd. Heather is a trans woman here in Orlando, Florida, and we're excited to continue to share some more of her transition story.
Never forget the day I told one of my best friends, and he was the first male I told, and I had worried endlessly about telling him. So I'm going to back up just a bit so that you can understand this part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to that November, December time period, The guy that I told, we'll call him Fred. That's not his real name.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had a mutual friend at work that I had worked with at Disney and had started socializing with us when we go out drinking in Winter Park. And we got all pretty close. Our mutual friend had a fairly long time girlfriend. They'd been living together for almost 4 years. They'd been talking about marriage. And this one guy's girlfriend was in school. She was going to be a nurse at first, but then she went into education. But they were talking about getting married, having kids. So our mutual friend goes out, gets a job promotion. Well, he moves laterally first and then gets a job promotion within 6 months. So it's about the time that I'm making all these decisions. Mm-hmm. And I'm out with Fred at the bar, and I said, "Hey, do you remember X?" You know, he goes, "Yeah. How's he doing?" I'm going, "He's pretty good. He's just got another promotion after that move." Fred goes, "Wow, that's great." And I said, "You know what he did?" Fred goes, "What?" And I go, "He bought a new truck. He just didn't buy a new one." Now, he had an old car that was really falling apart. Like, it was a BMW Z, but it was like from the early 90s and had 400 million miles on it. Jesus. And was the rag top had, somebody had slit the rag top, and he had actually sewed it back together, because this is a very accomplished person. So he goes out and buys like one of those Toyota Tundra trucks.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling Fred, and he goes, "Well, that's good for him. He needed that." And I said, "Yeah, he didn't buy Allie a ring." Now I'm still presenting male. I'm going, "You should have bought her a ring." And I'm going off.
Oh my God.
Fred turns to me in the middle of the conversation. I've still got a gin and tonic in my hand. Now, I was probably on gin and tonic 3 or 4 at that point in time. And so was Fred. And he goes, at the time, he goes, "Daryl?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Stop it. You sound like a girl."
Oh no.
I went into immediate panic mode.
Yes.
I just outed myself.
Got found out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, because I was adamant. He should have bought Allie a ring.
Wow.
Wow.
That was just like, and so at that point I knew, you know, it was the right decision that I was doing this, because it was just a matter of time.
Uh-huh.
At that point, I had already made commitments to myself that I was going to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So first of the year, I start telling my females, friends. In February, I met Anne again after she had done the speech in November at the Transgender Night of Remembrance. I chose her for my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the process.
And we'll time out for a free plug here.
Sure.
Two-Spirit is amazing.
Amazing. Yes.
They were, God, Anne was instrumental in, like, I started seeing her, and after the first session, she was like, "Yep, this is what you are."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she asked me at the
end
of the
first.
Tell
me what you want to do. Yeah.
Anne asked me, she goes, are you looking to start HRT? Yeah. And I said, yes. I jumped before she had it out of her, the sentence. She never met Daryl, not once,
mm-hmm.
because every time that I went,
yep.
even though I was still living about, okay, reality, I was only living about 40% of my life as mm-hmm. male, because everything outside of work except mowing the lawn,
yep.
mm-hmm.
I was Heather.
Yep.
And so once I started going to her, it moved very fast. And first of February, I'm in therapy.
Yep.
First of March, I'm on hormones. Middle of March, I tell work.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that was an interesting conversation.
We'll get there.
Yeah, that was an interesting conversation. So I had gone on and I had started building friendships. So by the time I'm starting to do this, by the time March rolls along and I'm on, I'm starting HRT, I've probably told 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting easier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had a group of maybe, I don't know, 15 or 20 that were my direct reports.
Yeah.
That
I didn't tell anybody that was a direct report to me.
I had worked, well, so I was on that weird Disney TA yo-yo garbage, and I can make a patron exclusive if you want to know what that's like. But so I had been promoted within my own area.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Yeah, I had been promoted within my own area, and so the people who I was now leading had been my peers. So we all, I mean, it was
yeah,
it was water
them.
Parks. It was this real small family, you know, thing.
Yeah.
So we were all friends anyway, and you're right. It was, you know, the first a couple of them, and then it just the next one was easier. And I used to say shit like people would peg me for gay.
Yeah.
For the longest time.
Oh, yeah.
And I would be like, listen, there is a line that I blur.
Yeah.
But it's not that. Like I used to say, I'm standing like here's the line and I'm like this.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's where I am.
Some of my fondest memories of the first time I saw you was that exact demonstration.
I'll have to make a video for the patrons. But yeah, so like I had kind of, I guess, been planting seeds, like setting them up for, yep, there is something quirky about me. You just don't know all the pieces of the yeah. story yet. And then when it was time to be like, hey, so this is what's going on, they were like, oh yeah, we kind of figured something. You know, like, yeah, we knew. It was no big deal.
Surprise.
Yeah.
So I actually went about it in a very unique way, because when I told work, I told my boss in a one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to have him hear it when we were in the office. I said, hey, come with a ride along with me. I need to show you something that's going on at the All-Star, which there was. It was actually a legitimate business thing, but I also did not want to be in the office because this was the day that I was planning on telling him about me, mm-hmm. and I was petrified. I also didn't want anybody to be able to hear through the door or anything sure. like that, because I had no idea what to do. I didn't know what my rights were. I knew I had rights.
Yep.
I didn't think I was going to get fired. I was petrified I was going to get transferred. I was petrified of the reaction. I work in a very conservative, very large area. And they are, let's just say.
We need to have a TV
yeah,
show.
Exactly, yeah.
Everybody needs this packet. It's
oh, yeah.
the Transgender Rights Toolkit from Lambda Legal.
Yeah. There's a couple of different things that I've done. I've done this stuff from Out and Equal, too. I actually spoke at one of their events.
Oh,
where
cool.
where I told them my story. So I'm on a ride with my manager, and I'd done the work part. Now I'm going, oh, there's no excuse. I can't say, I can't hold this off any longer. So I'm driving along. We're coming up to the guard gate, getting out of All-Star. And I said, you have a minute to talk about something kind of important? And he goes, okay. And I just grabbed the steering wheel and I looked straight ahead. And I said, I'm transgender and I'm going to transition at work this year.
Like all one big breath real
big
fast.
Breath. Yeah. Like, and I go, did it. And then he goes, okay. And the next thing I say is, again, I blurt out something. I go, can I get some time at one of our staff meetings to tell the team? Because I am very, very, very serious about this. Since I'm the one that's going to be leading this, I want to lead the message.
Yeah.
This is me. And I had one of my friends who I'd met through our meetup groups when she started out, and she wasn't going about it as fast as I was. Mm-hmm. She had actually started in October, and she had gotten diversity and inclusion to give the presentation to her peers,
mm-hmm.
except they never said who it was about.
Mm.
So everybody's looking around the room.
Oh,
trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
that's creepy.
Yeah. So that was another thing that said, if this is going to be me, I mean, how do I just give this speech and then 2 weeks later just pop up? No, not going to happen.
Here's the new girl.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So
you don't get to haze me all over again just because I'm new.
So this happened in mid March. My boss was cool with it. He said, "Let's go ahead and get you in touch with." HR.
Yeah.
I talked to my HR rep. I talked to diversity and inclusion. There was another HR rep that was in charge of like the technical end, changing your ID mm-hmm. and stuff like that, which, you know, you can't change your name on your ID until you actually change your name.
Yeah.
And company rules are going to be different in different places, and sure. you have to respect them. I mean, it's scary in some way, shape, fashion, or form. But I did change my picture relatively early on. I didn't even think about it for the longest part. I just kept presenting it. And I'm looking at my ID and going like, and then one of my peers just said, why don't you change your picture?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy. Okay, I'll do that. Because security doesn't have an issue with that.
Right.
It's just the name.
Yeah, if you don't look like what's in the picture anymore, they kind of...
Well, they can't get snarky, but they're actually, if they realize the situation, their managers don't. Now,
yeah,
with over, what, 3,000 or 4,000 security hosts out there now, you're going to run into people like you run into the curmudgeons in my area. Of the roughly 2,000 people in my department, you know, I could have contact with every single one of them at different times because I drive all over property. And any time that I interact with one of them, I, as a manager, am responsible.
Yep.
So I have to be able to deal with that. So that was a big fear with me. It's like, what happens when I get that curmudgeon that doesn't understand?
Right.
Fortunately, I had a pretty good reputation. If you're a good person going into this, people are going to be empathetic. Little side note. As I was doing this, I was ahead. I was a step ahead of Bruce / Caitlin the whole way. So, like, I was already on hormones when Bruce announces that he's going to have a TV show with Diane Sawyer.
Yep.
And I'm only about 6 weeks out from actually transitioning to the, that wasn't my original goal at that point in time. When Bruce does the TV interview and announces, and he didn't even give his name as Caitlin at that point.
No,
right.
I think it was just, like 3 or 4 weeks later.
It was very vague.
Yeah. So it was just like, but I thought.
Yeah, wasn't it on the cover of the, what was the magazine?
Vanity Fair.
Vanity Fair, yeah.
So when she did that, it got people's tongues wagging, which in my department, you know, they can't miss a good gossip story. And you're sitting there watching, I'm watching all this and I'm petrified because of course the talk's negative. At the time, because people don't understand it. It's there's no connection to who it was. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm going to have such a hard time.
Yeah.
So my boss had already known and HR already knew. And I was going through the steps of what I'm doing medically and when I'm going to come out. And I'm asking Ann, you know, okay, what are my responsibilities? And when do I tell work? What do I have to do? You know, she goes, well, you can just come into work the next day if you want legally.
Yeah.
Is that the right way to do it? Depends on who you're working with.
Right.
You know, and the company. And do you want to gain the respect of, or keep the respect of the people you're working with? So I go on vacation in May. I come back. It's like May 20th. I get a call from one of my peers. And she goes, hey, one of our other peers is asking questions about you. She goes, got a very strong feeling it's about Heather. It was one of my female manager peers. And I had told the two females that were on our team because I knew the day was coming soon. I still hadn't told any of the guys.
Yeah.
And I was petrified. So this manager calls me and says, hey, one of our peers is asking questions. I think it's about Heather. I said, it's on my day off. I said, he should have my home phone number or my cell phone number. I said, if he doesn't, give it to him. And she goes, okay. So about 20 minutes later, my phone rings and it's my peer. Nice guy. He's also one of those guys that gets worried about doing things right. He's about 10 years younger than I am, but he also has a lot of worldly experience. He was actually born in Trinidad and Tobago, but he lived most of his life in like New York City and then moved here and become a manager. He'd been in banking and all sorts of different things, pretty well thought of. So he calls and he's starting to make the small talk. And for about 3 or 4 minutes in, I say, so you have some questions for me? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, you've been sick a lot lately, haven't you? And I go, well, yeah. You've missed more work than you do normally. And I, going back over the previous year, I had been sick. Part of it was the pre-diabetes. Part of it was the blood pressure. Huge part of it was worry over this.
Sure.
So I go, yeah. He goes, well, I was having a conversation with somebody, and they were telling me, they were saying, you've got the same thing as Bruce Jenner.
You've got the same thing.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm sort of like trying to process this.
Yeah.
And my peer, because now he's uncomfortable in the conversation.
Sure.
Just starts rattling. I mean, he's gone. Gosh. He's on a run. He's going, I told him they couldn't say that. You know, that could be a compliance issue. And he's going on this speech. And I'm just going, and he's going on, and I'm going, and he's going on. And finally, I just blurred his name out. And he goes, what? And I go, it's true. I go, I'm sorry I didn't tell you. Only a couple of our peers know. They're both female. Mm-hmm. I said, there are some other males that do know in the area, but they're ones I had worked with. There were only like two other males other than my boss and my director and my VP that knew, because I had to have conferences with them along the way. They were concerned about how I was going to handle things, and I sat in that conference with HR. But he's like got dead silent. I said, could you tell me something? I go, was the person you were having a conversation with, were they in management or were they hourly? Mm-hmm. And I go, understand, I'm not mad.
Right. But the hourly didn't know.
No, at this point. Not told any hourlies.
Right.
There was no hourly that I had talked to. Now, this is week 10 since I've told, half of March, all of April, most of May. Yeah, it's like week 10 that I had told the team or told work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, this is Disney. We can't keep a nuclear secret.
You can't keep anything, yeah.
No.
I'm going, how did this stay quiet? I mean, this is really juicy gossip.
Right.
You know, and so I'm going like, okay. And he told me both.
Oh,
he
wow.
He heard it from multiple sources. So I knew.
Right. Now you're like, okay,
I know that I'm going to be out.
It's gotten
and out. And I still want it. Yeah, the question is time.
Yep.
When's it going to happen?
And you want to have control over that conversation and over that message.
And I had actually been trying to start the process so that I was going to come out at the beginning of summer. And then it started getting, because I was trying to line up with diversity and inclusion to come give a presentation to my peers. Because I knew I couldn't get it up to 2,000 people, but I could talk to all my peers. And we had a monthly meeting with our VP. He has a session for all salaried. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk to them. Well, it was coming up that was going to happen in 9 days. So the next day at work, I walked into my boss. I closed the door. I said, I'm going to be outed. I said, I'm going to start on this day. I've gotten with diversity and inclusion. We've got a kit. I want to ask you if next Wednesday at our staff meeting, if you can give me some time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have this presented, and I'm going to tell everybody what it is. And then 2 days later, we have our all salaried, and I'm going to tell my peers from all of the department instead of just my team.
Mm-hmm.
So that day comes around. I'm working like a whirlwind for a week, getting decks together from diversity and inclusion. So staff meeting our local staff meeting comes around. We also share a building. We share an office at the time with their GIF custodial.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of the boonies. You know, we're actually outside the park.
Yeah.
Beyond the berm.
Yep.
So I see one of the managers from custodial who we share the office with, and he's got two of his dispatcher or coordinators with him. And I pull him aside and I say, I'm about to go into a staff meeting, and I'm about to tell my peers this. I'm inviting you to attend and to bring your two cast members because we're in close proximity. Mm-hmm. This is going to impact them. I want somebody on your team to know.
Yep.
So they came in. I introduced diversity and inclusion, Vivian Ware, told them what this was about. I flat came out and said that I was transgender and presented the business case, told them that Vivian was going to present the business case as to what that means as far as my responsibilities and their responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So we did, and the conversation went pretty good. Most of the people in the room already knew. What had happened was a couple of people had, one person had called sick, and but got the word out. And as we're leaving, I grabbed one of the guys who I had not told. He did not know. And I said, he was in charge of our dispatchers at the time. And I said, can you schedule a meeting tomorrow with the dispatchers? Mm-hmm. I'm going to present this to my frontline dispatchers. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the first time I'm talking to my hourly cast.
Yep.
So the next day comes and this is all becoming a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. So I present that same deck of information that had been presented to my peers, except I'm presenting that to frontline cast. Mm-hmm. And I had a pretty good reputation, so everybody was pretty, they were amazingly quiet as far as there were no silly questions asked or anything like that. Gave the presentation, and I asked him a couple of things. I said, look, if you joked with me before, please continue to do so. Mm-hmm. That tells me that you're okay with this. I said, if it's inappropriate or I'm a little more sensitive to it than I used to be, because that was something I'm no longer having to prove to you guys that I'm this guy.
Yeah.
And things that I had to do before that I didn't like are no longer going to be done. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to accept them.
Yep.
So I tell them, that's my responsibility to tell you. You don't know where the boundaries are.
Right.
And you'll have to, there are going to be times that we're going to find out together. Mm-hmm. And then I said, and lastly, can you set on this for 26 hours? And I gave him a set number of hours. Because I needed the rumor mill, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. Because there's 2,000 people in my department.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, I need the rumor mill. I can't talk to people. Mm-hmm. So they go, okay. Now, I'm sure somebody went outside the door and...
immediately.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the next day, nothing was said. I did my normal work. We go to the staff meeting for the all-salaried. First hour of it's normal. And then the vice president starts to walk off away from the lectern. He says, now Daryl's going to give a presentation on diversity and inclusion. And Vivian from Diversity and Inclusion was on her way. She had originally thought she wasn't going to be able to make it. But on the previous Wednesday, she had brought some of her peers along to see the presentation because that was what was going to be presented to the entire O&T and rest of my peers. Mm-hmm. At this class. Katie was there.
Mm-hmm.
She came up to me. She knew.
Yeah.
She came up to me beforehand and hugged me and said, you're very brave.
I love
Katie. I'm not sure. I do too. Go Hokies.
Well, she's one that reached out to me very early and was like, hey, so I have a friend that I work with and I need to know how to help. Like, I need to know what to say and how to say it and what to do and what how to do it. And she had a million questions. And I was like, yeah, call me. Let's talk. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I got through the presentation. I'm walking up to the lectern. I always say overhead because I'm old school. You know,
you're dating yourself.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly. That's the only way I get a date. I'll be in town till Thursday. Try the veal. Don't forget to tip the wait staff. So I start to tell everybody, well, I'm going to be giving a presentation on diversity and inclusion. About that time, the screen fires up. And scrolled across the 12-foot screen is the word transgender. Mm-hmm. And I look and I do a little double take. I go, that was a little faster than I wanted. But, I'm going, well, in for a penny, in for a pound.
Yep.
And I go,
you're probably wondering why I'm presenting on this topic.
So I'm standing up there and I say, as you can see, our topic is going to be transgender. And the reason for that is there's someone near and dear to my heart that's transgender, and that would be me. You could have heard a pin drop on the carpet.
Wow.
So about that time, Vivian comes in the door. Everybody has been handed out decks of presentations that are going to be exactly the same thing that I talked about before.
Yep.
Vivian does an introduction. I do an introduction to Vivian. for Vivian and say, because I had already obviously come out mm-hmm. and said this is what I'm at, and I'm saying Vivian's going to give you a presentation with some definitions and give some expectations about what I'm supposed to do and what the company's supposed to do. What we're supposed to do as individuals. And it works out pretty well, but everybody's very quiet. Vivian was also interested in something that I had told her as we'd been going along, because I'm not a pronoun Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
Your peers and people you've worked with for a long period of time are going to have a history with this other guy.
Yep.
And as long as they're attempting,
if it's not coming
from a place of malice,
yes,
then I can't hold it against them because they're trying.
Yep.
If we make enemies by being that pronoun Nazi, all we're going to do is hurt our community.
Yep.
Every one of us, whether we want to be or not, are role models because we represent something. We would like to just be ourselves, but we don't have that option yet. There are not enough of us out there to establish that. We are the trailblazers, you know? So we have a responsibility to make sure that we do this right so that others can understand and people that follow us. My goal is that at some point when somebody follows me at work, they're going to be able to say, she did it right.
Yeah.
And so we did the presentation. I gave the pronoun speech. When Vivian asked about that, did a short question and answer period afterwards, and I was totally wiped out. Because when I left that room and I got home, Daryl was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I just...
Had you considered that beforehand, or was that a wave that hit you when you got...
No, I knew when I had the conversation the previous... on my previous days off with my peer about this, the plan was once I did this presentation,
I was
going home and he was gone.
Yep.
So I gave the presentation, short question and answer period. Vivian had been trying to get people involved, but a lot of them were stunned.
Mm-hmm.
There were about 60, 65 people in the room. It wasn't huge, but I had taught before, so I wasn't as nervous doing that. I was just stressed over the content.
It's close to home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So at the end of the presentation, there are no further questions, and I go, and I hadn't told him anything about who I was, you know, what my name was going to be or anything. So I finally said, okay, and you can call me Heather. And I just stepped back from the lectern against the wall. And I bowed my head and I was starting to cry because I was just emotionally overwhelmed.
Spent.
And I wasn't paying attention because I was zooming in on myself at the time. And all of a sudden I heard a noise and I looked up and a few people were clapping. And then one of my peers stood up. God, this is always hard to say. And then somebody else stood up, and then somebody else stood up, and the whole room was standing, giving me an ovation. I made it through that, and the meeting broke up, and people started coming to me. Instead of walking out the door, they started coming to me, hugging me, like Katie hugged me, and said she was proud, and a couple other girls did. The guys had some pretty snide comments, which was hilarious. One of the guys comes up, and he hugs me, and he goes, "Man, you've got bigger balls than I do." Wanted to sit there and
you
go.
You can have them.
That's when exactly I'm done what with I was them, thinking. You can have them. Exactly. They're all yours. I don't want them.
A big thanks to Heather Boyd for joining us this week. We actually recorded a little bit more to her story. There's about 20, 25 minutes that you're missing out if you're not a patron. Head over to patreon.com/Saratalk and get access to the rest of the story there on Patreon. Again, huge thank you to Heather Boyd for joining us in the studio, and we'll see you next week on Saratalk.
Saratalk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/Saratalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and Company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/Saratalk Radio, and on Twitter @Saratalk Radio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.